you know, photography and bow hunting are a lot the same, especially with these wild animals. You got to get close to get a good photo. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's the idea with archery hunting, just get as close as you can without them knowing you're there. And it has definitely increased my likelihood of success for sure. It's huge to have that confidence in your equipment. You know, you've spent time tuning it, you've spent time getting familiar with your equipment. You know the shots you can make, the shots you can't make. You know your abilities, and you have confidence in your equipment not failing. The aspect of learning patience is to almost have kind of a trust in yourself and your gut of being in the right area. Patient and slow down and been still in the mindset of hunting and believing that something good could happen.
Right, exactly.
And I think that patience, confidence, and having a positive attitude really, really helps. And it can be a game changer. And I guess that's another lesson that I've learned is being optimistic. Because it makes a difference. It really does.
Welcome to Days of the Wild Big Game Hunting Podcast, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Couple things before we jump to this episode. Please, you heard me say a million times, go give us a review on iTunes. Helps me keep this podcast free and helps with the ratings. Also, go check out Phoenix Shooting Bags. If you use our promo code John Stallone, all one word, you save 20% off on anything. And it's not just shooting bags. They do glassing pads. They're working on some other really cool stuff coming up here for the hunter, bow hunters also. So go check them out, phoenixshootingbags.com. And if you're looking for a really good hunt, I have some really good opportunities for you. Hit us up on daysinthewild.com or check out my blog, johnstallone.me, and send us an email. If you're looking to do a coos deer hunt, javelina, mule deer in South Dakota, we got some opportunities in California as well. So give me a call if you're looking to do something different this year and like to get on a special hunt. Days in the Wild Outfitters, and we'll take care of you. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode. I got Jeremy Houston, and Jeremy runs IG page Muley Photos. So I talk about content that you enjoy. I like your stuff, man. You always got some pretty neat, and I didn't ask you before, but is that most of that stuff your own photos, or you know?
Yeah, it's all mine.
That's awesome. Yeah,
it's all mine. I got kind of like you, just I grew up hunting. You know, my family, grandpa and my dad would take me hunting, and we'd only hunt for, you know, the 7 days of the season. Mm-hmm. Back then, and I just fell in love with it and just couldn't believe that I couldn't do it more often. And that's when I really thought, you know what, I'm going to pick up a camera. I can go hunting year round with a camera.
Right. That's my dad.
And that's been awesome to just be able to get out whenever you want to go try and take pictures. And a lot of the bucks and stuff that I have pictures of are heavily hunted, you know, so it's just like hunting. Exactly like hunting. In fact, I think being a photographer has helped me become a way better bow hunter, and vice versa, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's the more time you spend in the field and, you know, honing the craft of woodsmanship and stalking and so on and so forth. Because, I mean, yeah, you can use pretty long telescopic lenses and all that stuff, but still, you know, requires you to get within shooting distance, at least definitely with a rifle. So, yeah, it's got mosquitoes coming out now. We usually don't have them. I've been whacking them off my arm already a couple of times this morning. Anyway, it's definitely an awesome way to gain more, you know, to hone your skills to become a better hunter. I mean, like,
absolutely, for sure. And, you know, photography and bow hunting are a lot the same, especially with these wild animals. You got to get close to get a good photo. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's the idea with archery hunting, just get as close as you can without them knowing you're there. And it has definitely increased my likelihood of success for sure.
Sweet. So I got you on today to be part of our lessons learned series. So if you could share with us a few stories that, you know, and be as detailed as possible, take us through a hunt, and then let us know what it was about that hunt that maybe changed the way you you hunt today, make you look differently at a species, or, you know, just picked up something that has improved your success.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, thinking about this, there's so many lessons that have been learned over the years, and I go back to just kind of one lesson that has really impacted the way I hunt now, and it's tied to probably a couple ideas. The first is patience, just being patient in the field, and tied with that patience is confidence. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. I'm not gonna lie, I've had two or three other guys on in this series, and every one of them has had this, not the same, but, you know, it's all different experience and how they learned it and what, but this has been a talking point. So that's just goes to show how important those two things are.
Right. You know, the confidence side of thing as far as archery hunting, mm-hmm. is huge, to have that confidence in your equipment. You know, you've spent time tuning it. You've spent time getting familiar with your equipment. You know the shots you can make, the shots you can't make. You know your abilities, and you have confidence in your equipment not failing. I mean, I don't know how many times when I was young, I had just little things that failed as far as archery equipment. You know, your knock slipping, or your knock twisting on your arrow, or just little things that can screw up a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity in a matter of seconds.
Absolutely. It still happens, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it happens all the time. I mean, not too long ago, was it? Not last December, but the December before that, I found a buck that I had been watching, you know, a couple of years now. He always kind of shows up right before the rut. And I picked him back up. I got into range. Shadowed him all morning long. Finally got my shot opportunity, and my rangefinder stopped working. And I didn't want to guess, although after I stepped it off, I probably would have hit him pretty good. So, but yeah, you know, it came and it went. So yeah, it just happens. I mean, and that was just,
yep.
And I know all that stuff, you know, you're constantly doing.
Yeah. You gotta eliminate equipment failure.
Yep. I don't think you really can, but you got to do whatever you can to minimize it, for sure.
For sure. And then, you know, tied back to patience. So a lot of the hunting that I do is spot and stalk, and also just still hunting. You know, I've scouted areas enough. I know where bucks hang out, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of places you can't get up in glass. You can't find them other than just going in the woods and being there. And so the aspect of learning patience is to almost have kind of a trust in yourself and your gut of being in the right area. Mm-hmm. And when I was younger, it was like, cover as much ground as you can, because you don't have a lot of time. And so I would go in these areas, and I can remember specifically one area I was hunting. There was a nice 5x4 that was really tall. He was, you know, he was a solid 190 buck. Hmm. And I was hunting him for weeks on end, and I would sit on this ridge line where I had watched him just kind of feed up and out on numerous occasions, scouting. And there were two occasions during that hunt where I was in his home. I was right there. And it got to be later in the day, and I started questioning myself, like, oh, he's not coming. He's not coming. And something else happened. Somebody else got in the area and scared him. I just started questioning what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And so as I was questioning myself, I just thought, well, I'm just going to sneak right over to this ridge and get a little more vantage point where I can see a little more area. And I probably would have been fine doing that, but I was a little hastily doing it. I did it quicker than I should have. I wasn't patient in getting there. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, as I got to that point where I wanted the glass, he was right there close. Another 5 minutes, he would have been right in my lap. And that same experience happened twice with that buck. You'd think you'd learn your lesson the first time. But as far as being patient and trusting your initial thought on your hunt that you were going to do that morning or whatever, I wasn't. And that bit me in the butt twice with a really, really nice buck. So that being patient and slowing down, mm-hmm. I'm sure that makes sense. Just going slow and not trying to cover as much country as possible, especially when you're in some thicker terrain.
Yeah, your story actually made me think of a paralleling type thing, and that's that mental give up that bites you in the ass. And
yep.
Like, how many times have you like been on your way back to the truck or something, and you got shooting light, whatever. It's not you could still kill something if you wanted to.
Yep.
And you just you get lax and you start walking normal instead of with purpose, and there it is, there's your opportunity running away.
He's running away. And had you been patient and slowed down and been still in the mindset of hunting and believing that something good could happen,
right? Exactly.
And I think that patience, confidence, and having a positive attitude really, really helps, and it can be a game changer. And I guess that's another lesson that I've learned is being optimistic, because it makes a difference. It really does.
Yeah, and it's hard for me because I'm a pessimistic son of a bitch, but but I'm also very hopeful. I'm a hopeful guy,
Yeah.
So I'm always hoping that it'll turn out. A lot of what you're saying, it's funny. I had another experience this past spring with my son, which is the opposite of giving up. But I know, like, for instance, like a lot of guys, like I'm hunting, even when I'm like at the truck, I'm hunting. It drives me crazy when guys slam doors and, mm-hmm. talking loud mm-hmm. right at the truck. I'm like, dude, there could be freaking something right here.
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way years ago. We were elk hunting. I got out, and literally there was elk like five steps. I went into the woods and there was elk right like just off this little drop right there. And I was like, and I blew a perfectly good opportunity. And actually, I wasn't the one that blew the opportunity. It was my father-in-law. But anyway, my son, and that stuck with me for years. And I always I'm even quiet when I'm talking inside the truck,
Mm-hmm.
Him and I got to a spot, we got out of the truck. I said, all right, buddy, be quiet. And I let out a couple of yelps right at the truck just to, for location before we started hiking. And a gobbler fires off. This is the first morning of our hunt, not maybe 70, 80 yards away, And I was like, okay, buddy, let's go. Got to be real quiet, And I didn't have time to set up decoys, nothing. And, I just called him in and shot him within sight of the truck. It was great. It was like, so it's just important to be in it, I think, all the time,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that these, the patience, confidence, and optimism, it leads me to a story of a buck I got in Utah a couple of years ago. He was really, really tall, heavy 3x3, just a slug of a buck. And the story started with him is I was hunting Arizona and spent most of my time in Arizona, and I just killed a great buck there a Monday evening, got back home and took care of it, and still had a few days off of work to go hunting. So I hit my old unit in Utah where I had a tag, and just out there by myself, and I glassed up. I got up on a high ridge where I could glass an old burn from years ago, and I was glassing, and I could see just a big body. Well, I could see three bucks, and one was just a big, big bodied, and I was several miles away, and I couldn't tell antler size or height or width or anything. Just knew that he was a big mature buck. So that night I drove back down around to got into an area where I've hiked up into that area where he was. You know, it's just an area I've always found bucks in. So I set up my little, well, I just threw a bedroll out on the ground that night, and woke up early that morning and went in to where I knew he was. And so I was in there trying to hustle to where I got, to where I thought I could see where he was. And right at dawn, I jumped a giant group of bucks, and I never did get a good look at any of them. And I just kind of assumed that he was probably in that group. But I sat down and just started just kind of glassing a lot of areas to where maybe hoping that he wasn't in that group, because it was still kind of about a half mile to about a quarter mile away from where I seen him the night before. And as I was glassing, I found him. I actually found him just not a couple hundred yards away from where I seen him the night before. And it was kind of across this canyon. And I thought, okay, I could probably work my way around, try and get the wind right in my face, and come out on top of him on this kind of this little cliff edge. Okay. And so I worked my way around. It took me probably 45 minutes to get over there. And as I was coming out on the point where I thought maybe he was, the wind changed on me, and it was getting later in the day, and the wind was starting to go in his direction, and I thought, I'm screwed. It was my thought. I was like, I'm toast. But again, my lessons that have been learned is to be patient, have confidence and some optimism. And 15 years ago, 10 years ago, I'd have just walked out on the edge where I thought he was and just tried my luck. But anyway, so I snuck out on the ledge as quietly as I could, and I couldn't see anything. And again, I thought, you know what? I'm sure he smelt me. I'm sure he took off. But just deep down inside, I thought, well, if he really took off and bolted, I may have seen him come out the bottom or a different direction. So I backed off the ledge, and I found a point where I could come down off kind of the west side of him. And I just told myself, be patient and go as if he is still in the area. Mm-hmm. Just keep hunting as if he's still here. And so I did. I dropped down off of the ledge to the west of him and was going around and still couldn't see him or anything. And then all of a sudden I heard something. And I was like, oh man, he's here. Yeah. He's right around the bend right here. So I just slowly crept around, and sure enough, there he was. Like, I think he was 50 to 60 yards away. And he knew something was around.
Right.
You know, he wasn't just there feeding aimlessly and carrying on. He knew something was around, but I was able to get set up and get a shot off and hit him. You know, I didn't hit him quite, you know, it wasn't a perfect shot, hit him far forward and kind of the neck in front of the shoulder, but got that juggler, and I watched him just run down the hill, bleed out and tip over just nice. Like that in a matter of seconds.
Nice.
And that was one story where, like I said, 15 years ago, that would have never happened because I wouldn't have been patient. I wouldn't have had any optimism that he was still there. And who knows if I'd had confidence in my equipment at that time.
Right, right.
So, but that story there just proved to me that if you do keep hunting as if the animal, if you've seen it previous, that it's still there. And I have learned that the big bucks, bigature bucks, a lot of times, they hang tight. Yeah. They don't just aimlessly decide, okay, I'm running because I heard something or maybe even smelled something. A lot of times they just sit tight because they don't know which direction to go and which direction is safe until they actually have that, 100% knowledge that, okay, something bad's right here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I often, you always think about what goes through their heads. I always thought it was, it's like your kids when they hear a noise, they jump, but so you hear the same noise and, it's a noise that, maybe I shouldn't jump. Let me see what that is first,
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've learned that a lot of bigger mature bucks, even through the photography, if I'm out there stalking something, they don't just up and run. They hold tight a lot of the times.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, a little off that subject, what kind of camera are you running in lens most of the time?
So most of the time I've got, for years it was a Canon, just kind of the Canon 1D Mark IV was my favorite camera there for a long time. And I just had the 300 millimeter f/2.8 lens with a 1.4 on it. So I still had to get close.
Yeah, I'd say that's a 60-yard, that's an archery camera.
Yep. It's an archery camera. And quite honestly, in the fact when I was, I was saving up a bunch of money to get a good prime lens, And that was my thought. I was like, if I get a shorter prime lens camera, it's going to help me in my bow hunting. And that was one of the deciding factors on going with it versus like a 500 or a 600.
Yeah.
Was specifically would help me in my bow hunting. And it has for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
For sure. So now I've kind of, I don't know, if equipment has definitely gotten better, but I just picked up a new Canon R5.
Oh yeah.
And the mirrorless, and it works really well. And I actually picked up a Sigma 60 to 600 millimeter lens that works pretty dang good.
My dad has that lens. He likes that. He uses it a lot for photographing eagles and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've been impressed with it, but this still doesn't quite do the, that 300 f/2.8 will do some amazing stuff, but you got to be close.
Yep. Yep. So if you got another story that you'd like to share with us.
Yeah. So another story is actually last year with a good buck that I got on the Kaibab. Again, I was in an area still hunting, just in an area where I knew there were some bucks. And this one, well, this is kind of two stories in this same area. I walked in here solo one morning, and again, it's like right out of the truck. You've got to be quiet because they could be within 50 yards of the truck. A lot of these places that I hunt, the deer or the animals, mostly the mule deer, they're used to trucks. They're used to outfits.
Right.
They've never really presented any danger to anybody. But if you get out and slam the door and start talking, boom, they're gone. But anyways, I just got out of the truck, and I was still hunting up this old logging road, but it was in a burn area and there'd been a lot of trees, deadfall on it. And I climbed up on this burnt stump that gave me a little more elevation to be able to see kind of into some little pockets and some little baby aspens. And as I climbed up on the stump, I seen three bucks, and they were like 160, 170 yards out. And they knew something was up. And I watched them just kind of not necessarily feed over this ridgeline, but I watched them just kind of go away over this ridgeline because they'd obviously seen me or heard me or maybe even smelt me. But they didn't run. You know what I mean? They just kind of, okay, we're going to go over here now.
Yeah, just start walking away fast.
Yeah, just started walking away. And I thought, well, dang it, maybe I can get over there and catch them on another ridge. But again, I thought, I just seen them go into that group of aspens. I'm going to assume and be hopeful that they're still right there. So I continued down my way, picking my way through the burn and up and over deadfall and everything. And I got to where I last seen him. And I was hopeful that they would still be in there. But realistically, I wasn't anticipating being there. I thought I would have to go through that to another little gully. But as I went in there, again, I was just telling myself, and I've learned to do this a lot. Go slow, be patient, go slow, go slow, go slow. So I got on a deadfall log that was laying down in the direction I wanted to go. And so I got on it and was able to be quiet. And I always have those sneak tech kind of stocking things on, the yeah. little padded felt things. I don't do anything without those things. They're a game changer. Anyway, so I'm just not making any sounds at all going on this log. And sure enough, I hear deer feeding. You know, you can hear them plucking aspen leaves off of little aspens. So I was within 60 yards for sure. But I couldn't see them because it was so thick in these little baby grove of aspens. So I just kept kind of going, and I backed out a little bit to my left and got back on the little old logging road and was just sneaking right along there, hoping that I would get a lane out through the trees there. And sure enough, I started picking up velvet tines, just feeding. You know, you've seen it where they're just munching along and the velvet's just moving up and down and their mm-hmm. heads are moving so fast but they're just munching. And I thought, oh man, here he is. And there was a really, really nice heavy buck in there. So I started walking, trying to kind of parallel the direction they were in. And I was probably 60 yards is the best I could guess through that thick stuff. And there was three bucks, and two of them were no doubt shooter bucks. And the one heavy buck, he came out and presented a deal, and the sun was at my back, and he obviously seen me raise my binoculars or rangefinder to try and get a range on him. Hmm. And he was just over the crest of the rise a little bit. And I ranged, and he was like 54 yards or so. And so I pulled back and I shot. And I still don't know what happened, but I just heard my arrow just pegged in a tree. Mm. And I thought, I wonder if it just zipped right through him and pegged in this tree. And so I was like, and they all ran off, you know, and as soon as I touched off, they ran off. And I couldn't see his whole body. I just had just basically that broadside lung shot, you know, and the other stuff was kind of covered up. Anyways, I went over there, snuck over there and got my arrow, and there was no blood or nothing. And so, I mean, still to this day, I don't know if I just went high or if he just, you know, jumped the string and dropped a little bit as I went over him. I don't know what happened. Obviously, I missed. Mm-hmm. But I did not hear him. You know, usually when they run off and crash through all that stuff, it sounds like a freight train running away, you know?
Right.
And I only heard that noise for just a few seconds. So I thought, they're still here somewhere. He must have not known
what I was.
Yeah. He must have not known what I was. So, you know, again, 20 or 15 years ago, I would have thought, okay, I just totally
blew that
opportunity. It's gone. It's over. I might as well go back to the truck. The hunt's over. But the way they didn't just blow out of there, I thought, you know, I may still have another chance. So I backed out and got back on the little logging road and just started hunting again. Just started still hunting in the direction they went, just pussyfooting along and going as slow as I could. And I came back up around a corner, and sure enough, I could hear stuff again. So I get set up in this little area where it looks like I can see some aspen trees moving, you know. Mm-hmm. I can see them, the tops of them moving. So I come down there and get kind of set up, and I just get in an area where I'm just like, you know what, I there's not a lot of shooting lanes here. I am just going to stay right here and just play this out and just be patient. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I see the back of a buck, just the back of his back and his butt. Mm-hmm. And he's heads down feeding, and all of a sudden I see him turn, and he starts coming. I could tell he's going to start coming right towards me. So I'm already in everything. I haven't got a chance to see his head yet or anything. And this buck ends up walking right to me about 20 yards away. And at that time, I could tell he wasn't one of the bigger ones, but he popped up and looked at me.
Wow, geez.
And it was the smallest of the three bucks.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, this, he's got me pegged. And so he starts doing the little kind of the foot stomp, you know.
Yep.
You see does do that a lot, where they kind of stomp their feet when they don't quite know what's up. And as he does that, I see the bigger buck down below him about 60 yards. And he pops his head up, and I got a shot opportunity at him. So I'm like, oh man, this is all going to go south in a hurry. So I got this little buck that's really close to me, just kind of looking at me, but I'm knocked up and ready. And I'd already kind of ranged some of the terrain around there. Mm-hmm. So I knew the big buck was probably, like I said, 55, maybe 60 yards away. So I just pulled back, hoping that he would stay there. But as soon as I pulled back, that little buck blew. You know, he did his snort and turned and ran. The big buck looked up and looked at my direction, and I had just a second, and then he turned and blew, and I didn't get the shot.
Mm.
And then they actually blew out of the area that time.
Yeah.
So
fool me once.
Yeah.
Fool me twice.
Yep, for sure. But that big buck, sure enough, could have been that little buck as easy as, or the other buck, you know?
Yeah.
And I would have been able to pinwheel him at less than 30 yards without them even knowing I was there.
That's huge.
And so that was a lesson learned there, just not to again give up and know that even if you do screw it up one time, you may not screw it up for good.
Right.
And to just keep on being optimistic that something good may happen. But anyway, so relative to that story, it was probably a week later, maybe not even a week, maybe 4 or 5 days later, I go back in the same area to just again still hunt. But this time I had a buddy with me, and he came back in from the other way. And he actually got out of the truck. So I came in from a southern direction. He came in from the northern direction. And he got a hold of me, and he'd already killed a buck opening day out there, and he came out to help me. And he had just parked the truck where I had on that previous story that I told you about. And right out of the gate, he's seen some bucks, and there was a good one with a couple cheaters and some split fronts that we'd seen previously during the hunt, and he'd got some cool video of it. Anyways, he got a hold of me and said, hey, they're just going over this ridge. I am not going to have any sight on them here, and you know, they're just going over this ridge. And I knew the ridge he was talking about, and I thought, well, if I can hurry and run down this draw, and I might be able to come up over the ridge where he had seen them go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of flying blind, you know, but I go down there to where I thought that maybe they would come over the ridge, and I get down on the ridge line and everything, and I'm just, I can see probably 300 yards through this burn. You know, I can pick out and see stuff. Anyways, I come up the ridgeline, and I get to where I think that they're going to be, and I see him. I see the buck that he described. The buck comes out with the cheaters, and he's 120 yards away,
mm-hmm.
and he's quartering away, and it looks like he's just, the sun's come up on him, and he's going to head to his bedding area. And I thought, okay, it's blown. The opportunity's blown. So rather than just kind of back out and give up, I just thought, okay, I'm just going to watch and see if I can see where they go and then maybe I can get down there and get in the trees and have a chance. So, like I said, I'm like 120 yards away, and all of a sudden he pops his head up, and he just starts looking around, and sure enough, he turns in a complete 180-degree direction and starts coming right towards me.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh. How, you know, I was like, why is he doing this? But anyways, so he starts closing the gap, so I'm ranging. I'm ranging. I got, you know, 120, 110. 100, 91, mm-hmm. 81. And he's working his way right towards me. I'm like, oh my gosh. And he's on that, I don't know if you've seen those deer on their fast trot, kind of where they're getting out of the area. They're going to
maybe
their bedding area or whatever. They're not feeding at all. They're not even looking for food. They're just headed somewhere. So he's probably about 70 yards away. And he stops to, I think, right there where he was. He came to a trail, kind of a split in the trail. One trail kind of probably parallel right by me, and the other trail kind of turned, quartered away, went kind of down the ridge. I thought, well, as soon as he turned and started going that way, I was like, this is my chance to get an arrow off right here.
Right.
And so I pulled back and touched one off, and it hit him. You know, it went right in back behind that back rib and came out a little further back than I thought. But as the arrow went through him, he instantly jumped up, hunched, and I seen him, and he was instantly sick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of one of those gut liver type shots. And so I was able to watch him go down, and he walked underneath me, and able to pick him up, and he laid down. And so I just waited him out there for, oh, I obviously didn't hit lungs, anything. I just got the liver. But I waited him out for probably 3 hours right there. And he finally put his head down and then his head up and then his head down. And after a time, I was able to slip down in there and get another arrow in him. But he was a great buck, one of the bucks that was on our hit list. But the lessons that I felt helped me be able to get that buck was, again, having confidence,
mm-hmm.
and having optimism that I would be able to get to where I thought I needed to be. And maybe that's kind of like following your hunch, I guess.
Right.
Your gut feeling. But then being, I guess, back to that optimism. When my buddy said, hey, they're going over this ridge, it was like, this could happen. I could make this work. If I get to this specific spot that I could see in my head,
mm-hmm.
and they go over that ridge, this could work. And it did, amazingly. You know, it worked. And it was an awesome experience. And being
like
able
it.
to get him right in the same area, you know, in the same area where just a few days prior I had that awesome opportunity on some other good bucks that didn't happen.
Right.
But it was cool. In fact, when my buddy got a hold of me and said, hey, they just went over this ridge, like, I was actually right where I had that close encounter with the buck a few days before.
Gotcha.
So it was.
That's cool. That's a cool story. And honestly, you had patience too, because you know how many guys would have not waited 3 hours to try to get that second arrow in them. I know I probably would have had a hard time.
You know, yeah, that's a good point that I didn't even think about telling you. The story was the patience just to wait, because I knew. Well, again, that was probably a lesson learned.
Yeah.
If the buck is the way he was acting, the way he was sick, I was like, you know what, I'll wait right here all day long if I have to, but I'm not going to pressure him, because you never know what'll happen. Out there, you know, they
ways.
Run away, you lose a blood trail, and it comes in and the thunderstorm shows up that afternoon, you're toast.
Uh-huh.
So as long as I could see him, I wasn't going to make a play on him unless I knew he was just down for the count. And I didn't. I could watch him laying there and his head come up and his head go down, his head come up, and I was just glassing forever with just watching to see if he was still breathing or not. And I guess to add to that story is, as I was getting closer, I thought he was dead. I really did. I thought he was expired because his head was down. And so anyways, I kept crepping just a little bit closer and a little bit closer. And I finally got to within 30 yards. I came in on an angle where his head was down and his eyes were away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I, sure enough, I could have just thought he was dead and went right up there and grabbed him, and he would have likely took off. So anyways, I kept getting closer and closer, and I got to where I was 25 yards away, and I just sat down and I just was watching. And I actually seen he was still breathing.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, well, I'm 25 yards away. I can put one right in his heart right here. Easy shot, you know.
Right.
So I did, and as soon as I touched that off and that arrow hit him, he jumped up and bolted like he'd never been shot before, and he went about 30 yards and then tipped over.
Yeah, crazy.
So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, having the patience to not scare him out of there, because sure enough, if I would have put a second arrow in him and just walked up to him, he would have taken off.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it could go a long ways with that liver shot.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, they get that adrenaline in them, and they're gone.
Well, cool, man. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing those stories with us. And you got any good hunts planned for this year?
No, the only thing that I've drawn out for so far is just it's a Panguitch Lake archery tag in Utah. Unless I strike gold and draw out on the Arizona Kaibab. I love hunting the Kaibab.
Yeah, I haven't been up there in a while. Years ago, back in the day when I was over to Canada, I used to go up there.
Yeah.
Everyone. Yeah, I didn't go every year, but I went, you know, often enough. I actually never killed anything on the Kaibab, except for turkey. But
yeah, I love getting out there on that mountain and photographing and videoing. And if I can get to hunt it, it's a special place.
Yeah.
It's kind of a love-hate relationship, because you'll be out there and you won't see anything for
right
all day, and then you go out the next day and you'll see 70 bucks in the same place. You're like, where were you guys yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah. I got some friends that guide up there, and they've told me similar stories. So, but
yeah.
Well, cool, man. You know, thanks for coming on, and we'll keep in touch, and I hope you have a good year, and maybe you do draw out.
Yeah, same to you, John. I appreciate it, and like I said before, I enjoy following you there on Instagram. I might have to become more of a podcast listener.
Yeah, we got a little something for everybody on this podcast, so.
Yeah, a lot of stuff to learn out there. You can always learn something from somebody.
Absolutely. I tell people that all the time. I'm like, you know, how I sometimes learn from my clients that come and, you know, they don't know how to hunt here. They're coming to hunt with me, and I learn something from them, you know? So, all right, man. Well, I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Cool. Thanks, John.
You're welcome. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check out daysinthewild.com and be sure to give us a review on iTunes. Thank you, and we'll check you out on the next episode.